When I first started thinking about what to speak on this morning, my ideas were along the line of authority. And we're still going to have a lesson on authority sometime in the coming weeks, one sort or another, but I shifted just a little bit from the idea of authority, not completely away from it, because what we're going to be talking about has to do with authority or authorization. But I've been reading in the Old Testament. I just finished up Leviticus not too long ago, started Numbers at the beginning of this week, and of course read Exodus before that. And you know, from Exodus through Numbers, you have a number of things that Israel is given instruction to do. The things that they are to build and the feast that they are to observe, the clothes that are supposed to be made, the garments for the high priest and for the priest, and all of those things that Moses was given on the mount. And as Brother Bill read for us there in Exodus chapter 25 in verse 9, Moses is given specific instruction that all of the things that God has instructed him about that they are to build must be done according to the pattern which he had been shown on the mount. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning, and I want to introduce it with the idea that we're still talking about authority. Because only when we follow the pattern that God has authorized are we building what God wants us to build. And I'm pretty sure that just about everything has a pattern by which it is put together, organized, built. It doesn't really matter what it is that you're doing. There's some sort of pattern as to how that should be done. Our schools have an organizational pattern. Our governments have an organizational pattern. The things that we sit on, our furniture, our tables, they were built according to a pattern. All of the clothes we wear, they're built, put together, assembled, sewn, if you will, according to a pattern. Now that pattern may be just a rough sketch, or it may be a very detailed, specific, fractional measurement in order for that thing to be built according to the pattern. And the outcome, what we get out of that, is going to depend on how much attention we paid to the pattern that was given for that. My mother used to sew a lot. And some of you ladies I know either sew now or have sewn in the past. And you understand the idea of a pattern in sewing. Many of us men have woodworking or metalwork, or maybe we've helped build a house or a shed or things of that nature. And there's always a pattern to follow of some sort or another. And the closer we get to that pattern, the more like the original that's going to be. Everything has a pattern. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 44, we read, "Our fathers had the tent and the witness in the wilderness, just as he who spoke to Moses directed him to make it according to the pattern that he had seen." I want us to notice that the first century Christians started out understanding there were patterns to follow. We've been studying in the book of Hebrews, and as Brother Bill mentioned, we'll be in Hebrews chapter 8 this Wednesday evening as we continue our study in that book. And there in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5, we read, "They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying," and this is a quote from Exodus 25 and verse 40, "see that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." Over and over, we're told that we need to follow the pattern. And God has given us a pattern for every aspect of our lives. As we walk here upon the face of the earth serving God, well, actually, whether we serve God or not, there is a pattern for how we ought to interact. We talked a couple of weeks ago about marriage and that it takes two. God has given us a pattern for husband and wife. He's given us a pattern for family, both for the organization of the family, the discipline, the function of the family. He's done the same for us as Christians. He's done the same for the church. And we want to talk a little bit about some of those patterns that we are given today. In one sense, all of the things that we'll be talking about are part of a pattern. But I think also in another sense, many of these things are a pattern in themselves. Like, we're given a name. And in being given a name, we're given a pattern for that name. Scripture does not tell us that we have to use this exact phrase, but it gives us a pattern for how we ought to be referenced, who we ought to be. In Acts chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, we read, "So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they had met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians." I think in a sense, that's not just a name that we're to be referenced by, but it's also a pattern of who we are to be. Because that word Christian means Christ-like. We are to pattern ourselves after Christ. And the closer we are to that pattern of Christ, the more likely we are to demonstrate that we are Christians. But we do see a pattern here. We are to be called Christians, those who are disciples of the Lord, those who belong to His church. Note it was the church that they met with. The group of disciples who were gathering together to worship and honor and praise God in the ways that had been laid down. They were the ones who were called Christians. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, "Greet one another with a holy kiss, all the churches of Christ greet you." There's another part of the pattern we're given. The naming pattern that we're given. We need to be named after Christ, but we also need to understand that this tells us that we need to be patterned after Christ. The church belongs to Christ. Therefore, it's only right that we call it the church of Christ. I mean, we use that word "of" in a lot of instances where it means belong. We are Christians. We need to be like Christ such that it's not out of range, out of the ordinary for folks to reference us as "your folks like Christ. You're Christians." Now, we can take the time, and we will for just a second. This is not an adjective. I'm convinced that Scripture nowhere tells us that there's anything such as a Christian school or a Christian business or even a Christian nation, other than the fact that the church itself can be referenced as the nation, or kingdom is the term we hear more often, of Christ, kingdom of God. These are part of the pattern that we're being given by God. And they demonstrate, when we follow this pattern, they demonstrate that we are following God's plan. Just like Moses built the tabernacle according to God's plan. The curtains were the right length and the right height. He had the right number of sockets to go under the right number of boards. If you haven't read Exodus and Leviticus lately, go read. There's a lot of detail in that pattern that had to be followed. When we talk about a pattern, especially a pattern for building, one of the things that would come to mind is a foundation. And we're told in Scripture that there is no foundation that can be laid other than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. And you know, if you've ever looked at a building being built, you've ever seen somebody come in and prepare the ground and put the foundation? You can look at that foundation and you can get a good idea of what that building is going to look like. Sometimes they look like just a big old flat rectangle, which tells you you're going to have a big old rectangle of a house. Sometimes it'll have one part that's a little lower than the rest. Oh, maybe they're going to have a carport there, or maybe they're going to have a sunken living room. You know, those were popular way back a few decades ago. Or maybe like some folks we know said, the ground, we can't get it where we can have one solid floor. Or maybe it's got an outcropping over here that kind of sticks out. You see, we can look at the foundation and how it's laid out, and we have a pattern of what the building's going to look like. Christ is our foundation. Christ is our foundation as an individual. He is also our foundation, the foundation of the church. And that's what the Apostle Paul's talking about here. The foundation of the body of Christ. And when we look at the church, it should match the foundation. When we look at ourselves, we should match the foundation. If we are building according to the pattern, we will fit the shape. When Jesus asked his apostles, who do you say that I am? Peter replied, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said, I will build on this foundation. What? The foundation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the very basis of the building that Christ built. And therefore, if we're going to be the church that Christ built, we better look like Christ. We better match the foundation. Because as we read there in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, there is no other foundation that can be laid. The foundation itself is a pattern, and it is a part of the pattern. Our foundation must be Christ. We also need to recognize that the pattern that God has given us includes a law. And here again, the law is part of the pattern, and the law gives us the pattern. And of course, we're talking about the law of Christ, not the law of Moses. Because Christ is the foundation. If anyone thinks he's a prophet, Paul told the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians 14:37, or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I'm writing to you are a command of the Lord. Where do we turn to for our pattern, for our instruction? Well, we have to turn to the law. Because it's part of the pattern that God has laid down. Here is what you will guide yourselves by. All scripture is breathed by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We've been given scripture by God. And it is, as we stated, both part of the pattern. It's something that must be a part of our lives, a part of the church. But it also has the pattern. Much like the instructions that Moses was given on the Mount had the pattern for the tabernacle and for the table of showbread and for the formula for the fragrant incense and the oils and all of those things. The law of Christ has our pattern. It contains what God wants us to do. That's what Paul is telling Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 3. God has told us what He expects of us, and He told us that in His Word. And it is from God. It is not from men. Peter tells us that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit, not as they were moved by themselves. Word is not from men, it is from God, and it is our pattern. It is to be a part of who we are as we build according to the pattern that God has given. And like Moses on Mount Sinai, and when he came down and started to have those things built, it must be exactly according to what God has described. Any deviation makes it not what God asked for. My dad used to make little things for the rustic youth camp. One of the things we found when we were cleaning out the garage at the house at Red Bay when we were moving Mom over to Florence, I've got a box. I think it's a banana box or something like that. That's got a bunch of little wooden shapes in it. There's a duck and a turtle, and I think there's a heart, some other things. Those were his patterns for making those. From year to year, he would make different things. But he saved an original pattern. So when it came time to make that again, he had that pattern there. And so every time that he did that, they all looked the same. As long as he used that same pattern. Now, if the pattern got broken, such that something was missing, or the pattern somehow had something added to it, you know how dirt daubers are built on anything. And he didn't clean it back off to where it was exactly the pattern again, he wouldn't be making the same thing. And some of his parts might not fit because some of them he made baskets and stuff out of. Any change to the pattern makes it no longer what you had. It becomes something else. It may be only a slight deviation, but still it's a deviation from the pattern. And that's what sin is a deviation from the pattern. Outside what God has instructed. We have a pattern. Everything has a pattern. One of the things that we see in the pattern that God has given us for His church and for being a part of His kingdom is that we must become members of the family of God. And not only is membership a part of the pattern, both for being a part of the universal family of God and even being a part of a local congregation, that's expected of us in the pattern also, but membership itself has a pattern. How do you become a member? Well, when we go look back at the beginning of the church in Acts chapter 2, we find Peter laying down a pattern for answering the call of Christ. You remember, Peter preached that sermon in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. The apostles were there speaking. They were speaking in tongues that everybody there could understand, but the apostles had never spoken them before. They were speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit who had come upon them as God had promised. And the people looked and listened, and these guys are drunk. Peter got up and said, no, they're not. First off, it's only the third hour of the day. They're not drunk as you suppose. And he began from there and taught them Jesus. What he did is he said, this Jesus that you crucified, he's the Jesus, he's the Savior that was promised through David, was promised through Joel. The things that you're seeing happening right now are the things that God said would happen way back in Joel chapter 2. Things that David talked about in the Psalms. And we know there are things that we can read about in Genesis in the days of Abraham and even in Genesis chapter 3. Peter said, you've taken this Jesus that was promised and you crucified him. You put him to death, the Savior that God had sent. And now he's been raised up from the dead and he sits at the right hand of God, both Lord and Savior, Lord and Christ. Those people were amazed. It says they were cut to the heart. We might say it hit them hard. And they said, what do we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And we read later on in that chapter that the Lord added daily those who were being saved. There's a pattern in there. And the first thing in the pattern is they had to hear. They had to be told about Jesus. And it had to be something that they accepted. Something that they believed. and then they had to change from who they were. They had to leave behind the fact that they were Jews, that they were children of Abraham. They had to turn away from the requirements of the Pharisees and the scribes and all of their details, and they had to submit themselves to God. That's repentance. And then they had to be buried in baptism so that their sins could be washed away. There's a pattern there. When they did that, then they were added to the body of the saved. Not by Peter. Not by the disciples who had followed after Jesus during all of his ministry. By the Lord. Paul told the Galatian brethren, now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You see, there's a pattern to become a part of the body of Christ. And that pattern is specific. It's not just a general thing of just tell folks, hey, I believe in Jesus and you're going to be all right. It's make changes in your life because you believe the message of Christ and begin submitting to the will of God. That's what obedient baptism is. It's not a work that we do. It's just submitting to the will of God. And in doing that, we have our sins washed away. And as we read there in Galatians chapter 3, we only do that when we have faith in the working of God. When we have faith in the message of Scripture. Everything has a pattern. And even though membership in the Lord's church is a part of the pattern God has given us for us to be pleasing in His sight here on earth, becoming a member also has a pattern that is required. When we talk about our working together as a congregation, we recognize Scripture tells us there is an organization to that local congregation. Not only are we instructed that we need to become a part of a group of Christians who are working together to serve the Lord, and we see that throughout the book of Acts, we see that in all of the epistles, but there are some things that are specific from God about those organizations, that one group that we might be a part of where we live. And we see in Acts chapter 14 and verse 23 that after Paul and Barnabas had gone and established churches in the areas, Lystra, Derbe, and Iconium, Antioch, Pisidia, they went back through again. And they appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting. They committed them to the Lord whom they had believed. They appointed men to be elders in those congregations and they committed them to the Lord. We'll go on further into Acts chapter 20, and I don't have this on the screen, but when Paul talks to the Ephesian elders on the island of Miletus, as he was getting ready to leave, he told them, I commend you to the Lord and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. That's what Paul's talking about here. He committed them to the Lord as leaders of a local congregation. Each congregation had its own set of elders. When Paul wrote to the Philippian brethren, he said, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ, to the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, to the overseers and deacons. There was organization in that church in Philippi. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul expands this just a little bit to remind us that it's not just the elders and the deacons that have responsibility, but there's more. He says he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. There he tells us it's not just that you have an organization, it's that there's a purpose for that organization. And its purpose is to build up the body of Christ, to strengthen and encourage the saints, to prepare them for the work that they've been given to do. And of course, we've presented entire lessons on those two verses and their context that talk about the things that the church is supposed to do, and those things are according to a pattern left for us in the New Testament Scripture. We have a pattern for organization. And while many in the religious world have come up with their own pattern, what they've done is they've deviated from the pattern of God, and therefore they cannot be the church. Instead of taking the little duck pattern and cutting it out, they stuck a bear head on there, and it's got a body of a duck and a head of a bear. Yeah, it sounds ridiculous. It is. I'm following the pattern that God's given. We're also given a pattern in worship. We read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to breaking of bread and the prayers. Acts chapter 2 is when the church began. That's when it was established on that day of Pentecost following the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. That's when Peter preached that first gospel sermon and people first learned how to become a part of the church. And when they started worshiping, they followed the doctrine of the apostles, the teaching that the apostles had been given by the Holy Spirit. And that teaching included teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayers. They're given a pattern. We read later on in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, on the first day of the week when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. There's a pattern there. Coming together on the first day of the week to remember the death of our Savior. Later on, well, technically I guess it was before this because Corinthians was written before Acts chapter 20. But Paul had told the Corinthian brethren, when you come together, what you're doing is not the Lord's Supper. You need to change what you're doing so you're following the pattern of the Lord's Supper over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In Ephesians chapter 5, a passage we looked at just a few Sundays ago when we talked about singing. Beginning in verse 18, Paul says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And folks ask me, how come y'all sing when you come together? Because that's what the first century church did. That's what Paul instructed us we ought to do. How come you don't have a band up there leading everybody? How come you don't have a piano so everybody can stay in tune? Because they didn't have one in the pattern. There's no pattern in the New Testament Scripture that includes any kind of mechanical instruments of music. Every pattern we have about our song worship to God is from the heart and from the mind. Because we are filled with the Spirit of God. There's a pattern that we've been given for our worship. And while some of the forms that we use, we have some leeway in, we observe the Lord's Supper a little bit different than we used to 3 years ago. Now, used to, we had the three guys that stood up here and passed the trays around. Had a different one leading each prayer. But we're still doing the same thing that the pattern calls for. Remembering the death of our Savior and His sacrifice on the cross of Christ with the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. In the text that Brother Bill read for us, it talks about the contribution or the offering of the Israelites. We have an offering that we have that's a part of our worship to God. And we take care of that a little different now than we used to. We've got a tray back in the back that everybody lays their contribution into. We no longer have the guys that walk down passing the plate. different form, but the same thing, the same purpose, an opportunity for us to give back to the Lord. And we still do it on the first day. Basically, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul told the Corinthian brethren, on the first day of the week, lay aside. That's what the pattern shows, and we follow the pattern. The pattern includes discipline, and there is a pattern for discipline among brethren. Jesus in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 17 said, if one who's done wrong, if he refuses to listen, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and tax collector. I know there's other things involved before you get to that point. But when we're talking about what the collective does, the instruction that we have from Jesus is if one who is committing sin doesn't listen to the church when they come to him and says, hey, you need to stop this, you need to get this set right, then they need to be cast out. Like Paul told the Corinthian brethren, the man who was taken in adultery, who was living with his father's wife in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 4 and 5, when you're assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. You need to cast him out so he realizes the severity of his sin. And it may cause him to come back, having turned away from his wrong. God gives us instruction. He gives us a pattern. He even gives us example in Revelation chapter 2. Beginning in verse 14. I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam. He taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel so that they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. So also you have some who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Therefore repent. If not, I will come to you soon and war against them with the sword of my mouth. In other words, if you don't repent, I'll cast you out. We need to remember that's according to the pattern. We may not like it. It may not be something that we're pleased with, that we really want to do, but sometimes it comes to the point that we have to cast someone out because of their sin. I hope that never happens here. But if the situation should arise, I hope we recognize God's given us a pattern that includes discipline, and we need to follow that pattern to the best of our ability, if we're going to be what God wants us to be. Of course, the pattern includes love of brethren. In fact, one of the overriding things we find Jesus teaching his disciples, and we find the disciples and apostles going about teaching brothers and sisters as they went about proclaiming Jesus, is love your brethren. Jesus said in John 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I've loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You know, we could word that last sentence, people will know that you follow the pattern, if you have love for one another. Because that's the pattern. Loving one another. Having purified your souls, Peter says in 1 Peter 1, by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. Hebrews 13, 1, let brotherly love continue. We're to love one another. An honest and pure love. Because of the love that God has shown toward us in providing salvation for our sins. That's part of the pattern. It's not just something that happens. It's something we work at. Jesus and the apostles do not teach us that if we all come together and worship according to what God has planned, and we work together serving God, that we'll automatically love one another.
He says, make sure you love one another. Because that's part of the pattern that you've been given. Everything has a pattern. I started to title this lesson, Sow According to the Pattern. To kind of tie into our whatsoever you sow that we had a few lessons ago. Different kind of sowing, but the same idea. When people look at us as a congregation, when we look at our brothers and sisters in Christ, do they see something that is following the pattern that God has given? If we are doing something that is outside the pattern that God has given, we need to change it. If my life is not conforming to the pattern, maybe I need to get busy cleaning off the edges. Go back to the woodworking. I'm a little more familiar with it than sewing. Sometimes you cut that pattern out, or you mark that pattern on the stuff and you cut it out, and of course you cut it a little wide because you don't want to get too far in. Because you can always cut off a little more. You can't ever add a little extra. Well, you can nowadays with some of the fancy stuff they got, but still. And when you do that, then you've got to come in there and fine-tune. And that's what we as Christians are doing each and every day of our lives now, is we are fine-tuning ourselves and we are fine-tuning the congregation so that we adhere to the pattern. We're constantly looking at the pattern God's given us in Scripture and cleaning up our edges so they match. There is a pattern. And as Jesus told His apostles in Matthew chapter 16, it is His pattern. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Here's the pattern. Here's the foundation. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Is that where your faith rests? Is your faith in the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of a living God, the living God? That's our foundation. The rest is us matching that foundation in our lives, both as individuals and as a congregation. If you look this morning and you find there are some areas where you do not conform to the pattern, if you are a child of God, pray to God and ask Him to help you clear up those things. Help you find those wrongs and correct them. And He's promised that if we will confess to Him our sins and turn from them, He will wipe them away as if they had never been. If you've not followed the pattern that God has given for being a part of His family, we urge you to look diligently into the Word of God. And recognize your need to submit to the Creator of the world, of the universe, and to submit according to His pattern. Reading, studying, hearing, talking with others about the Word, and strengthen your faith and your belief. And when you come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, act on that belief. Maybe you're already at that point and you believe in Jesus. And it's time for you to confess that belief. To turn away from whatever it is you've been following before and give yourself wholly over to His pattern. Submit yourself in obedient baptism so your sins can be washed away. You can be buried with Him and rise out of that watery grave with Him, a new creature, cleansed of all sin. And have hope of eternity with God when this life is over. If you find this morning that you have a need to come to the Lord, and we can assist you, why not come while we stand and sing for your encouragement?